good to see so many out tonight. I said, well, man, it's going to be raining. There ain't going to be many there. I won't have to face too many. But I'm glad you're all here this evening. Glad everyone's safe. And tonight I want to talk to you briefly about unity with my fellow Christians, as my brother stated. You know, what do we think of one another when we look at each other? How do we look at each other? With what perception and depth? How much do you get connected or want to be connected to one another? You know, the lessons this morning were all minded to our connection. Brother Ken, after the text, talked to us about the groups that we have, one of our ways in being connected. One of the greatest things there is the power we have through unity. Without unity, there is no power. One standing alone cannot take what we can all take standing together. And I can guarantee you, you put a group of individuals together and a problem arises, one of them has usually had something similar or either dealt with that kind of issue. So God give us this big family to be able to help us through anything. That's the greatest thing about being here. Try not to get emotional with you. But the greatest thing about being here, Trenton, is family. And it feels like family. It's not fake. It's real. When you call on someone, they're there. Or either they're trying to call on you. I know that's one of the aims that the elders have had, is for us to grow in faith, of course, in knowledge, and in unity. Think of how many times our Lord mentioned that. Do you realize that in almost every book of the Bible, there is either some semblance or either he infers to it. Unity, love, caring for one another. And in many places, it's in depth. It's not just inferred. Let's go back to the beginning. You think about Cain and Abel. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. Starting in verse 11. He said, For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of evil and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother was righteous. You know, we realize then that the Lord, we're talking about the first family and their connection and how he wanted us to be, or as we've always talked about when it referred to Cain and Abel, what was that he said, who am I, my brother's keeper? Are we our brother's keeper? Do we live to try to be our brother's keeper? Going to realize, and the more I study, I realize how important that is in God's plan. For without it, we lack doing his will. In 1 John 3, right there in the same opening, starting in chapter 16, man, this is little. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed. You know, we realize then that when he says that in verse 18, how many of us say, I love you, brother? But how many of us show it? How many have made action to go help one another? How many have stepped one step further? I know that's something that we all will work on in our lives, to be able to look after one another and be connected. Because without it, there again, we're missing the mark. If it wasn't so, he wouldn't have it in so many places. Christ wants action. And that's what he says. Love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. If it's in deed, it means it was done. About turning over to Colossians 3 with me right quick. Colossians 3. We're going to start in verse 10. Read just verse 10. I wish I'd have brought some little glasses. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Think about how much the Lord has forgiven us. When I'm reading on this lesson and thinking about all these points, I was thinking about how much the Lord had forgiven me, how much he was ever there for me, especially since I became his child. We know that we have to be in Christ Jesus to receive the blessings. Not that he doesn't hear, but to receive the blessings, we have to be in Christ Jesus. And since I have been, I have received a lot. You know, sometimes we have to reprogram ourselves and change the things that we originally taught. Not everyone had the right programming. Looking back at verse 11 through 14. Here, after the image of its creator, here there is not Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put then on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. When we realize then that there's a whole chapter dedicated to love, 1 Corinthians 13, and realizing that it's what we build our lives on, truth, as he said, indeed, love overbounds all. It overcomes everything. We can realize that as we live it. And the more we live it, the more our heart will be right. You know, automatically we've been taught as we become children of God that we're supposed to put the face of Christ on our brother. We're supposed to look at our brothers and sisters as if we were doing things unto the Lord as himself. We talked about Wednesday evening, I did briefly, about doing everything in word and deed. We do it all in the name of the Lord. And if we do everything in word and deed, it means we have to love our brothers and sisters. Can we say that we've been holding up to the task? Or can we say we may need to work on that a little more? Y'all remember what Christ said in Matthew? We'll turn over so I get it accurate. Matthew 22, starting in verse 37. 22 and 37. And he said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is lots like it. You shall love your Lord, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And when we think about that, we realize that he said, he not only told us to love, but he told us how much to love with everything, all your heart. You know, we stand back and wonder sometimes, well, how much am I supposed to give? How much am I supposed to care? How deep do I go? From what I can perceive, when the statement is put there with our Lord and how much we should love him, and he states that the second is like it, that we love our neighbor, our brother, as We love him and ourselves. Pretty heavy. You know, we need to, when we realize these things, if everything can be hung on that, then that's the point we need to grow to. We need to grow to a point that it's not I live, but that Christ lives in me, as the Apostle Paul said. The life that I live is in him. It's going to be godly. It's going to be where I will put my brother first. You know, Christ came with the attitude, it wasn't for himself, but for mankind. It didn't matter to him what it took to do the Father's will. He did it. And then we know that he was come and lived as we do. We realize John 1, that he became 14, that he became flesh and dwelt among us. So we realize that he was flesh. We talked about in our young men's class this morning that he was tempted in all points. He dealt with the devil as we deal with him. You know, sometimes, as we said in there, it was hard for us to believe that he had to deal with the same things we do because he was deity. But he had emptied himself and was willing to do the will of the Father to whatever point. And one of the points that we need to come in grips with, yes, we have become children of God. Yes, we are calling each other brother and sister and doing for one another. But when it comes down to God and doing his will, have we yet resisted the blood? Have we yet gave our life, as we read a minute ago? Are we willing? How far will you go? He tells us we're supposed to go all the way. When we realize then that we're supposed to go all the way through these things, why are we not doing it? Or are we doing it? Something we need to consider, each of us. Let's think over there in Philippians 2. I know y'all know that. Read it a million times. Philippians 2, we're going to start with 1 and read to 5, as always. So if there is any consolation or encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. You know, before I go any further, the Apostle Paul talking to those at Philippi and trying to explain to them being of one mind, of one love, in full accord, loving everyone the same, not putting others, esteeming others higher than the other, but only esteeming them higher than ourselves, as we'll read in a second. Something that is not natural in society today. And the world is getting more me. It's not getting to be like the lower it is, where it's for you. To continue, he says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humbleness count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not at only his own interests, but also the interests of others. I know these statements we've made over and over to one another. We've heard them all our lives, preached in the pulpit. How much have we enacted upon this? I know I got a long way to go. I do know I want to try. But I do believe that it takes this to be able to inherit eternal life. Have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who through the way was at the former equal, did not count it equality of a God a thing to be grasped. If we can realize, he said, it's always being the point of Christ. As Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Knowing that, we have that charge to do so. If we do these things, if we do, we will find ourselves doing the will of the Lord. I think often, this is not on the in the lesson, but often of the Great Commission, are we doing people justice or injustice by not speaking to him? about our Lord and the love we have freely given to us. We have that charge to do so. If we don't do it in some capacity, we're going to be held accountable one day. You know, realizing that Christ always did everything that the Father willed. Are we holding up to that? One of my brothers always says, when you have done it to the least one of them, you have done it unto me. You know, that point comes from Matthew 25. And it's one of the last things I'm going to talk about. Matthew 25, turn with me over there. We're going to start in verse 31. We know who's speaking here. There's no question about which man the Lord had talked through. We know that it was him. Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. Okay. When the Son of Man comes in His glory with all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all of the nations, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. And the king will say in those on His right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We realize this plan's been in effect since the beginning of time. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Those righteous being as humble as they were said, when did we do this? When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? I'm not a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you. And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, when you did it to the least one of them, you did it unto me. That's big. The least one of them. I've often heard it said, I would love to be least in the kingdom as long as I'm there. I can go with that. Then the point following, which you all know, is the other half. Those that did not visit him, those that did not try to feed him or give him drink or welcome him or visit him when he was, we say in prison here, but how about sick? How about in the nursing homes? How about when they can't leave the house at all? You know, there's a big advantage we have over these brothers and sisters that they speak of in the Bible. Every one of these had to walk to get there, or ride a mule or a donkey, a horse. We can pick a phone up. We got an automobile. We have so many ways to communicate. But yet, so many times, our busy life gets in the way. Something I've been thinking on. Who is that busy life? The prince of this world. That's who the busy life is. And with him, if we allow him to run things, I can assure you, I know where we'll end up. We need our priorities in order. Do we have it that way? Can you say for sure that, yes, I've been doing all these things. Yes, I look after my brothers and sisters, everyone. I try my best. If we can say those things, we're doing good. We have no need of gaining more. But if we can't say them, one day there's going to be retribution. One day we're going to pay. I've always heard, payday someday. And we have so many things so good, so many blessings, As I told you, I've been working on my smile again. It's been working. And I'm happy to say that it's contagious. Every time I smile, somebody else smiles. And when they do it to one another, it continues to grow. I feel it's love. I feel it's the willingness to do the will of the Father. Kind of short tonight. But one of the things I want you to think about and take away with you, through all of this, most of these places that it was talked about in this Bible are charges that were given to them, which in turn are given to us. Look after one another. Love one another. Visit one another. Put the others ahead of yourself. And so many more that are not even coming to mind right now. But without doing those things, any of them, if we miss the point, if we don't have the right heart, the right mindset, we failed. And the shame of that is we have the ability to not fail. We have one more verse. 2 Peter 1. Pretty sure. Bear with me. 2 Peter 1. And he says in, starting in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant, the apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained a equal standing, a faith with an equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and of their Jesus our Lord. Here's where I was headed. In verse 3, he said, His divine power has granted us to all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and His excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious promises and the great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And then he tells us how to supplement everything that we have. Faith, virtue, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Always comes back to that. He says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He states also that whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For there is in this way, there will be a richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tells me right there I can make it if I do it. I guess the question tonight is, if you've not been able to become a child of the Lord and receive these blessings, we give the opportunity. If you have become a child of God and fell short, or have been not really considering these things to be as important as others, may we do so. We have the opportunity to fix that with our Lord. One thing that we have always is that mediator, that one that will always be there for you when you want your life right. So if you have a need tonight, consider the opportunity as we stand and sing.